Hebrews chapter 11. And it has been a great joy to be able to work through this book together. And as we think about all this book contains, a big theme of this book, our big idea is it's calling us to go from milk to meat, from being spiritual babies to maturing in our faith and eating of the meat of God's Word. And as we think about the theological truths that have been pointed to and that we have been reminded of in this book, that we are continually told that Jesus Christ is better than anything else, and He's worthy to be followed. That has been a big message in this book. And in chapter 10, at the end of chapter 10, we see this statement at the end of chapter 10, verse 39. So to get us to the context of where we are in chapter 11, it says this right before this. It says, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." And it's making this distinction that he's saying we are not, as believers in Jesus Christ, as we think about us today, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are not of those who shrink back. And the shrinking back is in the context of the book of Hebrews, is in the midst of hardship and opposition. And it's really easy, it was easy for these believers to be thinking, is this really worth following Jesus? I mean, the hardship that they're facing earlier in their lives, they had experienced the seizing of their property, that they had had some of their property taken because they were followers of Jesus Christ. They responded to that with joy. They rejoiced even in the midst of that. And as they responded to that in joy, they looked back to a season where things were good. But things have gotten harder, and they're wrestling with, what do we do now? Do we continue to press on in this faith, or, as this verse says, do we shrink back? And I want to encourage you this morning as believers that God's calling us to not be shrinking back. We live in a culture that there is an increasing hostility toward those who believe the truth of God's Word, who believe that in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that when He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, that no one comes to the Father but by Me," we believe that He meant that, and there's no other way. That is seen as intolerant in our culture. We believe, as we shared last week, we believe in a biblical view of sexuality and marriage. We believe that God created the world just as He said He did, that God created the world by speaking. We believe in our culture, in our world, we believe some crazy things, right? We believe some crazy things, and in the past, it's been okay to believe crazy things, but now it is becoming increasingly, increasingly less popular to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And so our call this morning that we're going to look at is about a courageous faith. About having a faith that is indeed courageous, and we need this kind of courageous faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the whole book, through it, we hear the statement, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And he lists all these people and the incredible things that they did by faith. Well, as we look at that this morning, we're picking up our passage in chapter 11, verse 23. And in chapter 11, verse 23, it tells us this. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Verse 27, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them." Verse 29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea, and they were passing through on dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace." As we see this passage, we've been looking at the statement, by faith. And everybody up to this point has been in the book of Genesis. And we transition now to the book of Exodus. And hundreds of years have gone by, and the Israelites are being oppressed by the Egyptians. The Egyptians are concerned about this immigrant population living within their borders that has grown from 75 people to over 2 million in about 400 years, which is, and we think about that growth in population, that is God fulfilling His promise to Abraham that God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Couple million people. But the Pharaoh is concerned about this because he thinks if an enemy attacks us, this group of people living within our borders, if they join with the enemies, we're in big trouble. And so he instituted a policy of population control. And his idea of population control was, first of all, to work these people so hard they don't have time, probably in Pharaoh's mind, to breed. They can't make any more of these little Israelite munchkins, and so we're going to work them. It didn't work. They came up with another idea, and his next idea was to tell the midwives, whenever the Hebrew women are giving birth, we want you to kill that baby as it's born. And the Hebrew midwives refused to do that. And so the population continued to grow, and Pharaoh became more concerned and more desperate in his latest attempt in this, and where we pick up in chapter 11, is that he had determined that when those babies are born, if they're not killed as they're being born, that they're going to instruct and encourage these people, these Israelites, to throw their babies into the river and drown them. As we think about this just today in a cultural context, we recognize that the war against the unborn and war against babies is nothing new. It's nothing new. It was then and continues to be a tool of Satan, who is a murderer, and he hates life. But as we look at this, and we see in verse 23, it says this, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. So his mom and dad, Moses' mom and dad, Amram and Jochebed are their names, we're told in the book of Exodus, and they have this child. And it says, and they said, they saw that he was a beautiful child. Now, moms and dads, how many of you have had a child and thought, man, this kid's homely and ugly, I can't believe it. No hands? All right. Yeah, we all think our kids are beautiful. The most beautiful kids are wonderful, right? All that. And yet in this, as they recognized that their child was beautiful, there was something that was distinct about Moses. It was more than just, he's another wonderful little baby who's beautiful because he's our child. But there was something that indicated to them that this child, there's something special about this child. Right, and it says that as a result, they hid their child for 3 months. They weren't afraid of the king. You see, they weren't afraid of the king because they loved their God and were more concerned about doing what God said and not doing what God said not to do than fearing this king. And so they hid the child for 3 months, but after 3 months, the book of Exodus tells us they could hide him no longer. And so they did what the Pharaoh said. They put him in the river. But they put him in a basket first. And God, in his supernatural sovereignty and God's providence, navigated that basket to arrive at the feet of Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter apparently had a heart unlike her father's because she wanted to keep this child. And she goes and she receives this child and receives him as her own child. And so Moses is raised in Pharaoh's home with all kinds of privileges. But in this context, it tells us about the faith of Moses' parents. And it says that they were not afraid of the king's edict. You see, what I want us to see this morning, and we're going to look at a number of characteristics of faith this morning, of a courageous faith. And the first thing that we see is that faith overcomes fear. You see, a faith that overcomes fear is a faith that I believe, as we defined faith a few weeks ago, faith is this understanding, this belief that God is trustworthy and that His Word is true. Faith is acting on the belief that God is trustworthy and that His Word is true. And so Moses, as parents, are looking at this child that they see. They're hearing the threat of the king, and they weren't afraid of the wrath of this king. They were more concerned about obeying God. So they weren't afraid. And I think it's important for us to understand this, that faith overcomes fear. All throughout the Bible, we're told, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And yet things go on in our lives and things take place, and what happens? We get scared. We get scared because there's uncertainty. We get scared because we don't know what's going to happen. We become fearful because the consequences of a choice that we make seems to be very, very dangerous. It could have some significant consequences. And yet, what does faith do? Faith looks at the circumstances and sees the situation as it really is, because Moses' parents, this was a significant situation. This is a bad deal. I mean, they could be killed for this, and their child could be killed for this. But they looked at the circumstances, but their vision didn't stop at the edge of their circumstances. They looked beyond their circumstances to see a God who was faithful, a God who is trustworthy, a God who has created all things, provided everything for them, a God who has kept the promise to make them a great nation. And they said, listen, it is more appropriate for us to obey God, and we're not going to fear the king. And so whatever the king does, whatever comes, we're going to have to embrace it. But we're going to do what's right. And so we're told that by faith they hid their child. Well, it goes on in verse 24, by faith again, there's our statement, by faith. Again, what is faith? Believing that God is trustworthy and His word is true. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, and he grew up where? In the palace. All the privileges, all the education, all the experiences of a son of a king. All kinds of privileges that he would have had. It says that by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he is looking forward to his reward. And what is going on here? We see Moses, as he grows, he understands all his position, he understands all that he has as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And understanding all of that, what does he do? He says, no, I'm not going to identify with the Egyptians and all the privilege that comes with it. I'm going to choose to identify with the people of God. I'm going to choose to identify with these Hebrew people that have been enslaved. I'm going to choose to identify with them. I'm going to choose to identify with this group of people who my grandpa has been trying to kill. I'm going to identify with them rather than this privilege. And it says, and he is going to, and by identifying with, it says that he says he chose to endure the ill treatment with God's people. What did he get for doing that? Ill treatment. It wasn't like everybody said, oh, how wonderful that he's going back to his family roots. Oh, how wonderful that he is returning to his heritage. No, he was ill treated. There was reproach. He had thumbed his nose at his mom, or his adopted mom, and all that has been done for him, and they certainly would have seen this as a rejection and a repudiation of everything that they are and everything about, because he's abandoning Egyptian way of life for the Israelites. And the consequence of that was significant. He endured reproach as a result. He says that he did this in verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, again, Moses is looking beyond the edges of his circumstances. In Egypt, in the palace, pretty comfortable, pretty easy. A lot of money, a lot of opportunities, all of those things. And not only that, but it talks about the passing pleasures of sin. And so all the things that sin would bring to him, his willingness to participate in all of that, that he recognized that I'm, rather than this, I'm choosing this path to follow God. And it describes this. This is a wonderful passage that helps us to understand some of the nature of sin, because it talks about the passing pleasures of sin. We sometimes have this idea in the church that we want to make it sound like sin is no fun and it has no appeal. But listen, if sin didn't have any appeal, this is going to be a hard question, okay? If sin didn't have any appeal, would it appeal to us? No, right? Okay, there are pleasures that sin brings, but it calls it what? The passing pleasures of sin. You see, if we're going to have a biblical mindset, if we're going to think a manner consistent with God wants us to, if we're going to be, listen, men and women and students and boys and girls and young men and young women of faith, we've got to see bigger than right now. We've got to see bigger than the moment. Because when we're in the moment, what are we looking for? What's going to please me? What's going to satisfy me? And this is going to do it. And Scripture calls that the passing pleasure of sin. Because what follows very quickly on the heels of the passing pleasures of sin? How about the enduring feelings of guilt? The wrong, I know that I've wronged, the shame that comes with that. And Moses says, by faith. And why is it by faith? It's because, listen, what I know what sin can give me, but I know that who God is and what He offers me, and I'm making a choice. What's better? We often say around here, there are only two choices on the shelf. What are they? Pleasing God or pleasing self? You see, if we want to please God, that is a path that the day gets brighter and brighter as we pursue that path. We pursue a path of pleasing ourselves and the pleasure of sin. It may seem fine now, but it gets harder and harder. And so God calls us to something different. And so our understanding of faith in this is, what does faith choose to do? Faith chooses to please God rather than self. Two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God and pleasing self. And you say, well, why would I please God instead of pleasing myself? Because I'm pretty important after all. And my pleasure is a pretty big deal to me. Well, we would understand that in the big context of the gospel. We say this as well, that I do what I do because Jesus did what He did. Why will I deny my pleasure now? Because I love Jesus for what He did for me by dying on the cross and raising from the dead, giving me brand new life and offering me the cleansing and the forgiveness of sins. And because of that, I'm going to see the passing pleasures of sin for what it is, as foolishness. And understand what is it to pursue the identity with God's people, and all that means, that's wisdom. Because of what God has done for us in Christ. Well, it goes on in our passage, by faith, by faith, by faith. Verse 27, by faith, He left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for He endured as seeing Him who is not seen. Or seeing Him who is unseen. In this passage, commentators argue about when it says, by faith He left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Some say that this is when He left Egypt the first time to go to Midian before He was a shepherd for 40 years. Others would say that it's at the time of the Passover, whenever He's had these confrontations with the king, and they leave the king in presence, and then the Passover happens and they all head out. Commentators debate on that. I believe that it's, and it's kind of minority view, that I think it's whenever they were getting ready to head out of Egypt, all the nation. Right? Seems to be a little more consistent, but good scholars disagree, and really smart people would say that maybe it's different. But in either way, it doesn't change the meaning of the text and the implications for us. Because either way, what happened? Moses left Egypt. And why did he leave Egypt? By faith. He left Egypt. And again, not fearing the wrath of the king. You see, here again, back here, here's mom and dad. Okay, what did they do? They didn't fear the king, and instead they chose to live by faith. Here again, they're not afraid of the king, but he chooses to live by faith. Right, the same point that we can make, that it's faith overcomes fear, but we'd also say about this, that faith sees the invisible. You see, it says at the end of verse 28, as seeing Him who is unseen. Now, you and I have never seen God. We have never seen God. We hear God's voice through the Word of God. We hear God speak to us. We've never seen God. And the reason we haven't seen God is because God is immaterial. He doesn't have a physical presence, right? God is spirit. And we haven't seen Him. And yet, as we read our Bibles and as we look in our own lives, as we listen to the testimonies of other people, as we open our hearts and our minds to God's truth and begin to submit ourselves, all this that makes sense, that there are many of us, and I would trust that most of us here would say, listen, I have never seen God, but I trust Him more than I trust anything that I see. I pray that would be your reality. Why? Because we hear about the promises of God. We hear about what He's done in the past, about the creation of the world, and how all of the Scriptures teach us about God, how all that is consistent with what we see in the world. It's not like, well, the Bible says that we were created with six heads and eight horns and four legs, and that you know, and all this weird stuff like that. No, what the Bible teaches is consistent with what we experience. But what is faith? Faith believes that God is trustworthy and that His Word is true. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. God calls us and invites us to trust Him. To trust Him. Well, as we go on through this history of Egypt, we see Moses being born, Moses growing up and leaving from the palace and to be with the people of Israel. We see them leave Egypt. As they're preparing to leave Egypt, it says in verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Okay, what's that about? Well, in the Old Testament, at the end, there were 10 different plagues that God sent to convince Pharaoh that the God of the Israelites is a true and living God. And so the water turned to blood, the frogs were everywhere, there were gnats, the cattle died, there was darkness, there were hail, and God was humiliating the Egyptians and the power of their so-called gods. And as God did all of that, it was to get the Pharaoh to be convinced to say, okay, Israelites, you can go. But every time Moses came and said, let my people go, Pharaoh said, no. But this last plague was going to come. It was going to be the worst of all of them. And that God had said that on this certain night that all the firstborn in Egypt were going to die. All the firstborn in Egypt were going to die. Unless you took the blood of a lamb and put that blood on your doorpost. Now, if somebody's just thinking, I live by sight and not by faith, I'm thinking, what in the world is the blood of a dead lamb on a doorpost going to help me if somebody's going to come and kill my kid? Right? That's what sight says. Well, how's that going to happen? I'm staying up all night with my gun. Anybody enters my house, I'm not letting them take my son. I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I'm not trusting some dumb idea of putting blood on a doorpost. I'm going to protect my family. We don't know all that was going on, but what we were told is that they were told, listen, put blood on the doorpost of a lamb, blood of a lamb on a doorpost, and then death will pass over. Well, that night, God did exactly what He said. And throughout all of Egypt, it didn't matter what anybody tried to do. If there was not blood on their doorpost in every home, there was death of the firstborn. But as those Israelites woke up in the morning, or I doubt if many slept that night, but as daylight dawned and they recognized their child is alive and they're hearing everything that's going on, their faith is confirmed. They lived by faith and not by sight, put blood on the doorpost, and their child was alive. And that blood on the doorpost points us beyond Israel, ultimately to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ, who has told us that if we will repent and believe and accept His blood as payment for our sins, that we too can escape everlasting death. If we would repent and believe the gospel, His blood will be applied to our lives, and we can be born again. And so we see this as the Israelites. So this goes on, and as a result of that, Pharaoh finally says, get out of here. And he sends all the Israelites, and they pack up, and they begin to leave. And as they're leading, God's leading the Israelites with a fire by day and a cloud by night. And so God's leading them, and He's leading them in a certain direction. But some of the Israelites would have certainly been scratching their heads by saying, why are we going this way? This doesn't make any sense that we're going this way, because as God led them, God didn't lead them on the main path. He led them to the edge of the Red Sea. Okay? If some of the guys would have had their iPhones out and it said, hey, recalculate, you know, Google Maps, this is not how we're supposed to go. Right? It's not right. But by faith, what do? They see the cloud, they see the fire, they follow. And yet God led them right to the edge of the Red Sea, which is like, Moses, what's up with this? And then they look back, and Pharaoh changed his mind, and Pharaoh decided, listen, forget it, go after him. He sends his whole army after him. And now you're an Israelite, and you're seeing this army come out after you. And what have you been? You've been brickmakers. You've been slaves. You haven't fought. You're not a military person. His army's coming out against you. And you're like, yikes, what do we do? Let's run. Where do we run? We can't go this way because there's a sea. There's nowhere to go. Terrified. And the Israelites, what's their response? They said, Moses, why did you bring us out here to kill us? Why couldn't we just died in Egypt? Why are you doing this? And yet, Scriptures tell us here, it says that by faith, in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through on dry ground. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. What does God do? God tells Moses, Moses, hold up your staff. And what does God do? God sends a wind, and He separates the water, and He sucks up the water so it's dry ground underneath. And he leads the Israelites through this water. And you think about that. You're an Israelite. You're thinking, okay, Google Maps, forget it. I'm throwing that away because I'm following this because it's getting me away from this army. And so they walk through on dry ground. And I think they would have just been marveling. I mean, water on both sides, just being like, man, our God is big. Whoa. Moses is leading us in a right way. It is right for me to follow this God. And again, I believe every step of that is by faith because they're thinking, what's holding this back? There's nothing on a human level. There's no reason this ought to be holding back, but our God is protecting us. And so they walk through this by faith. And what does the Egyptian army do? They're so angry. What do? They see this, and they see these Israelites going through that, and what do they choose to do? Let's go get them. Now, I'm not a military strategist, but that was a dumb idea, right? I mean, you think about it, these people, all these plagues have just happened, the firstborn has happened, everything that Moses says about this God, it has just happened. There's something big here. And yet now what are we doing? He sends his army right through there to go get him. Dumb idea, because it seems like God's on their side, not ours. And as they go through there, what does God do? God causes the waters to go back to their natural state. And he drowns the army. I can't help but to think the Israelites on this side and thinking, man, what has our God just done? How big is our God? And listen, and these stories are recorded not for us just to think, well, that's kind of a cool story. This is recorded to help us to understand this is the God that we are called to serve and to follow. This is the God who is trustworthy and whose word is true. And we think about the things that we deal with day in and day out, and we think, where does faith fit? And I want to tell you, faith fits everywhere. As a dad, as a mom, as a husband, as a student, as a child, as an employee, as a neighbor, as a church member, as a community member, and all the different roles that you bear, that we need to be living out a courageous faith. A courageous faith that says following God is always right, even when it doesn't make sense. Even if it means reproach, even if it means danger, even if it means the wrath of others, even if it means the eyes of others and the opinions of others are now against me, it is always right for us to follow and to trust our God. These verses are given to help us develop a courageous faith. Well, as the Israelites flee, we fast forward to verse 30, we skip 40 years, and 40 years the Israelites are now at the Promised Land, and they're at the edge of the Jordan River, they're looking across, and they see the city of Jericho with giant walls around it. And they're told, God says, go in and take the land. And they're like, take the land? How are we going to take the land? We're not soldiers. We don't know what we're doing. We've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. How are we ever going to do that? And God says, I've got a plan for you. So he calls Joshua. Moses is dead by this point. Joshua has been risen to the new leader. And God tells Joshua, gives him a great military strategy. That strategy, I want you to go around, and I want you to put the, I want you to go, and I want you to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times, and then when you're done, blow your trumpets, and the walls of the city will fall. Yeah, that's what I'd be like, okay, really? Right? I mean, does that sound like a valid military strategy? Well, not if you're living by sight. Living by sight, that's a dumb idea. What if we start doing that and they start shooting at us from the wall? What do we do? Whatever. But what is faith? By faith, they said, you know what? This is what God says. I don't understand it. I don't get it completely. But I know that God is trustworthy. I know His word is true. I know the history of what our God has done. Let's go. So what do? They march around. First day, march around the city. Go home. Next day, they come out, march around the city, go home. Next night, march around the city, back to their tents. I think by this time, the people of Jericho are like, what is the deal with these guys? You know, okay, they see them coming out. Everybody gets on the wall to watch the parade again. Okay, here they go. Day 4, march around it. They're there again. Day 5, day 6. They're like, what is this? Who are these people? Day 7 comes. They go around it once, and then everybody's going back home and says, okay, parade's over. Everybody go back to your house. And they go again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And they hear them blow their trumpets. And all of a sudden, the walls start to shake. The walls start to shake, and those walls become more of a shaking. Those walls then collapse underneath them and collapse on top of them, and they are killed. And then these people have been marching around the city. They besiege the city, and they conquer those people. Just as God said, by faith, by faith, by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, in verse 31, our last one for the morning, by faith, Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot lived in Jericho. Okay, she lived in the city of Jericho, and she was a prostitute. And Joshua sent spies in to check out the land, check out the city before it fell. And he sends these two guys, and they go in, and they go to the house of a prostitute. Which, you're thinking, okay, you're strangers in the city. Would there be anybody really suspicious if strangers come into a city and go see a prostitute? Wouldn't raise much of a concern, okay? So they go there. But word gets out that these guys are actually spies from Israel, they're spies, they've come in. And so the authorities come, and they knock on Rahab's door, and they said, where are the spies that you've hit your hiding? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. They came, but they've already gone. They've gone out that way. But she actually hit them. Okay, she was hiding them in her place. And so they go off chasing after them this way. The spies take off, and they go and they tell her, hey, you tie this ribbon around your window, so whenever everything happens, we'll protect you. You'll be able to be part of us. And she did all that. The scriptures tell us, it says, by faith, Rahab did not perish with those who are disobedient after she welcomed the spies in peace. You see, the book of Joshua tells us about a conversation that Rahab had with those spies. And her conversation was basically, listen, we've heard the history of who you guys are, and I believe that your God is the true and living God. I get it. Okay, that's a paraphrase. But she gets it. And she gets it, and so she's exercising. We're told here it's by faith. And we can think through all the implications of what it did. Was it right for her to lie to protect these spies? Was it, how do you justify that? How do you put all that together? Listen, we can wrestle through that at a different time, but what we're told here is that she did this by faith. And what we're told that she did by faith, by welcoming the spies. Right? She's not commended for the lying. She's commended for welcoming the spies. Right? But what we see here too, is the big point I would see about this, is that by faith, we do what's right. Now, she didn't have time to wrestle through all the theological implications and all that. All she knew is that I have some spies here who are the people, are part of the people of God. There are people knocking on the door who are going to kill them. All I know what to do is I'm just going to protect them. And she protects them. And why did she do it? Not to save her own skin. Because she was looking out for her own skin, what she would have said. Upstairs to the left, they're hiding under some bushes or some whatever. It's hiding up there. Go get them. Wasn't about her. It was about God. And we see that throughout this in all of these different cases. And so as we see this, and I'll get these other points up here for you, but faith, what does faith do? Faith overcomes fear. It chooses to please God rather than self. Faith sees the invisible. Faith obeys what is clear. We see faith also following wherever God leads. If that's through the heart of the Red Sea that God has parted, then we're going. Faith follows wherever God leads. Faith trusts God's plan. If God tells us that His plan is to march around the city to have victory, we're going to follow God's plan, whatever He says, because we're living by faith, not by sight. And we'd also say that faith always does what's right. And I want to encourage you this morning, as you think about where you are in your life, and I want you to think about the things you see. And some of the things some of you see are facing some health troubles that are persistent and seem to be going on and on. Some of you see relational problems that are hurting really bad. Some of you are seeing financial issues. You're seeing dealing with the death of a loved one. You're dealing with temptation, sexual temptation, temptation to get out of a relationship. You're tempted in a variety of ways. But there are all kinds of things right now around you and you're dealing with. And what you see, it seems reasonable for you to say, listen, I'm just going to kind of shrink back and do what I think seems right. Listen, Hebrews 11 is telling us, don't shrink back. That's not who we are. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are men and women of faith. And what does faith do? All the things we've just been told about. And this whole chapter is loaded with a whole bunch more. And we're just told over and over and over, our God is trustworthy. And you can believe His word because it's true. So I want to call you this morning to live by faith. To live beyond what you see. To see the one who is unseen and to follow Him. To trust our God. And whatever that circumstance may be for you this morning, I want to call you to turn and to trust Him. We're going to wrap up this morning by singing a song, Whom Shall I Fear? And after we sing this song, I'm going to pray and we're going to be dismissed to receive the helping hand offering, our benevolent fund. We'll receive that. But I want us to leave this morning recognizing that our God is worthy to be trusted. And if our eyes are in the right place, we have nothing to fear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the grace that You give to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You that You are trustworthy and that Your word is true. And we see that over and over and over. And so, God, help us today to not be living by sight, but to be living by faith. And Lord, I pray that You would help each of us to be examining and thinking in our own lives right now, what does this mean for me? Maybe it means being bold and sharing the gospel. Having a hard conversation with somebody to restore a relationship. Maybe it means turning from sin and getting help with the sin. Lord, it could be a variety of things, but help us to take action and to live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand together as we sing.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
We know who goes before us. We know who stands behind us. We have no reason to fear and every reason to walk by faith. Well, may God bless you this week. The men are posted outside the doors for our helping hand offering. Lunch at our place at noon. May God bless you. Have a great week.